This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
It's time for the opening, the opening drive.
I'm with you because I have to tell you that I have said this before and it bears repeating briefly. I really don't like this season, and it has little to do with what's going on the field. And the development and emergence of Justin Fields is tremendous for the Bears. It's been so long since they've had a franchise quarterback. So you like that aspect for the sake of the franchise. What I don't like about this season is that the way I'm wired, it's very difficult objectively to look at what's happening at Hallis Hall and to not look critically at losses the way we are conditioned to look critically at losses. And from a journalist standpoint, that's different. From a competitor standpoint, former athletes or whatever, I don't understand how you can be on a football, ever have played football before or been part of a team and look at what's going on at Hallis Hall and have these losses absorbed as easily as they seem to be absorbed in the fan base. And I'm not saying one way is necessarily right or one necessarily wrong. It does create some lively debates, as you have had on the radio. Thank you. Lively debates on the score. But Dan, it's an uncomfortable reality that the Bears have a lot of people believing that the more they lose, the better off they will be because this is the year they found their quarterback and the rest just doesn't matter.
There's a big group of fans, David, that when Justin Fields got out against the Dolphins, not the Lions, against the Dolphins for that 61-yard touchdown run a week plus ago, that was it. That was the end of the 2022 season. It was pop the corks, blow up the balloons, get out the mission accomplished banner and proclaim that the 2022 season is an undeniable success because the quarterback showed enough playmaking ability to establish that he can be a reliable starting quarterback in the NFL. And at that point, nothing else matters. You don't have to go and lead game-winning drives. Your team doesn't have to be crisp within coaching decisions or on defense or even on offense in game-deciding situations. It's over. The season's over. And so I'm trying to figure out if I'm supposed to cancel my flights for the rest of the season. I got two coming up to Atlanta and Newark the next 2 weeks. Maybe stay home for the home games because none of this matters anymore because 2022 is over, right? Like that is the verdict that has been cast by a lot of people. Nothing else matters because Justin Fields has shown that he is an unqualified success as a quarterback or that at least his development in year two is an unqualified success because they've unlocked the ability to score 30 points on a regular basis. And Justin's found ways to make plays on an every half basis. And so that's it. Like where do we go from here if that's the conclusion that's drawn?
Well, I think it's interesting because it's not even enough for some in some camps to believe that, to acknowledge, and I think we both agree here, Justin Fields' emergence and development this year is the most important aspect of this organization for 2022.
Correct.
But it's not the only thing that matters. And that's where I push back a little bit and try to at least have these ongoing conversations. And they seem to be redundant at times, but I think it does bear repeating because it does matter the most, but it's not all that matters because there are 52 other guys in there because you do have to create a winning culture. You have to give – I think the Bears are in trouble right now because they're in the midst of a three-game losing streak. They're going on the road. And even though it's a beatable team, what we saw against the Lions is that this team is not developing, you know, winning habits. And so you can learn how to lose just as easily as you can learn how to win. And with a young team, that's a dangerous slide to begin. And not all losses are created equal. There are losses that are against the Dolphins, not a bad loss. I'll acknowledge that. I think we both did. There were a lot of good positive things about the Dolphin loss where you could look back at big picture wise and say, okay, we get it. That's Tyreek Hill and company. We came close. Justin Fields broke out. Great. The Lions lost. There were no silver linings. You know, you did not have any bright spots emerge. You can't look at even the 67-yard touchdown run and feel that good about it. I can't from a tape, like if I'm evaluating tape perspective, like, okay, he's explosive. He's spectacular. He's a star in the making. But there were other things that came up, and you can't blow a 2-touchdown lead at home in the fourth quarter. So I think, Dan, that we're trying to get to the same place here, but it is frustrating because I just think that there's not a whole lot, there's not a consensus, not that you need one, but there's not even maybe a majority of people that look at this Bears season and feel like they think it's over because all that matters, they found their quarterback. The rest doesn't matter.
Yeah, so this leads to a couple conversations. The first one being, well, first I'm going to give a shout out to loyal Take the North listener Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, who loves to listen to this program and figure out what we're thinking. But he kind of subtweeted us on it was either Sunday night or Monday morning and basically inferred that we were calling the loss to the Lions cataclysmic. Let's be clear here. I don't think either one of us is saying that loss was cataclysmic. I think we're saying that in games that you can win and should win against bad teams, you should try to win. And if you fail in those moments, it's not just you shrug past it and say, oh, well, good try, sport. We'll get them the next time because that's what we do, right? Like, I mean, that's, you know, I just don't know where that mindset comes in. The other part of this conversation, David, that confuses me is it's almost like there is this belief in that fraternity that the 2023 offseason is going to be an unqualified success. That the Bears are going to bet 875 with all of their draft picks. They're going to bet 875 with all their free agency acquisitions, and that they're going to successfully, in one offseason with draft capital and a lot of salary cap space, fill the 42 holes on the roster that we've been led to believe that they have by the people in the fraternity that say Justin Fields doesn't have a single teammate that's worth a damn, and he's winning these games by himself. And so, like, the assumption is that they're just going to go in and they're going to stock the roster with star starters and standout playmakers, and all of a sudden they're going to be on the express lanes to success. And I really that's where we're going to go with that. I've got a couple outside the podcast messages that I'm going to have to share anonymously with you at some point. But I mean, are you getting the same vibe that it's just sort of a foregone conclusion that 2023 is going to be the magic springboard?
I do think that there are a lot of assumptions being made that I'm not comfortable making about the NFL draft. I think that we've covered enough drafts, and you can point out the difference in drafting 17th and 5th or 6th and 18th or whatever, and you can find a disparity in the players and the talent and the value of the draft pick. But number one, I don't know that you can assume anything about a general manager in Ryan Poles who hasn't made a first-round draft pick before. And I think that to assign that kind of credibility or to give him that kind of confidence that outweighs everything about the draft outweighs anything that happens during the season. And I've never been one who believes that because I think that the draft is too haphazard at times and it's too much of a crapshoot, if you will, to place as much emphasis as playing for a draft position it allows that to happen. And I just don't think that's smart. I don't think that's smart. I think that is short-sighted, actually. And so, and it also misses the point for anybody that cares about winning and losing. So I really am uncomfortable with that. That's why I don't like this season. It's a very uncomfortable weekly exercise in restraint because you're trying to Like, you're trying to, like, resist all these things. Like, they lost a game. I mean, it drives you crazy.
Well, but and they're
celebrate the fact that they're improved their draft position because they can go out and draft somebody they want to develop into a type of player who what? I mean, it's just
right. Well,
it's
and
counterintuitive.
Ask the Browns, the Lions, the Jets what it's like to have top 10 draft picks all the time and, you know, and miss on them, right? Like, and not get them right, and how quickly that gets you back on the road to relevance. I think, like, this idea that in order to attain success, you have to fail significantly is sort of disconnected, right? Like, this idea that you can tank and it doesn't matter, because ultimately when the games matter again, you just find the magic gear and you hit the on switch and you're ready to succeed in game-winning moments, because that's just what happens, right? Like, and it's just not there. That's why the loss on Sunday unnerved me a little bit, because you had, we'll get into this in the QB1 segment, but you had opportunities, many opportunities in the fourth quarter to put that game away, and across all three phases you failed, including offensively. And then in the last series of the game, you needed to gain 45 or 50 yards against the league's worst defense, right? Like, this isn't, you know, like, we can sit here for until the we turn blue in the face and say the win-loss record for 2022 doesn't matter. Like, that's unanimous across the city of Chicago. But when you have opportunities to win games late against bad teams with bad defenses, why doesn't it matter to you that the quarterback and his supporting cast aren't capable of going down the field and getting that done, right? Like, that would have been a really nice moment to go beat the Lions yesterday and say, hey, we did it. We've got one in our cap, right?
Right.
Skins on the wall, as John Fox used to call them.
Well,
right,
just for morale's sake, too. I mean, Dan, you're in the locker room regularly, and I know that we heard Eddie Jackson kind of frustrated post game, wanting to do what the defense can to pick up the offense and Justin Fields, and it was it's a valiant attempt to kind of have the defense carry its weight. That's not going to get any easier, and I think that's not going to get even any easier once the losses start to stack, and they already have. So that's from a morale standpoint. The other thing I think I want to address real briefly is that this notion about the rebuild, and we both are well aware of how rebuilds work. And I think the thing that you don't want to sound defensive about is, you know, lashing out at, we've never covered this before. And what are you looking at? Don't you know what it goes? Don't you know what goes into a rebuild? Of course we do. But this isn't baseball.
And thank you.
And Ryan Poles is not Theo Epstein. And so
I don't know where this narrative mushroomed up, but it seems like in the last 5 or 6 days, this has suddenly become the 2014 Cubs. Like, I'm getting that from many directions now, that it's like, oh, the Cubs did this, so the Bears are going to find their way to their long lost Super Bowl now,
well,
too.
I was around the 2014 Cubs, okay? And I was around Theo Epstein for every day that he was the president of that franchise. And this ain't that. And baseball is much different than the NFL. You know, the rebuilds don't have to take as long, and they don't necessarily even have to be as complete. You can tear it down to the studs. That's what people want to say. That's fine. But there are ways that you can also you can serve two masters. You don't have to abandon every opportunity at a victory, especially when one is staring you in the face in the fourth quarter against a trash team, as you called the Lions.
they're trash.
I know they are at home. And so that's why I think that we know what a rebuild is. We know what it requires. But when you miss an opportunity, you can't feel good about that.
There is no dispute. No one in the NFL disputes that the Lions are trash. You blew a 14-point lead against them and lost to them on your home field, which then makes you trash. And there are people in Chicago that say, yeah, I agree with you. The Bears are trash. And so my follow-up question to that is then why the balloons? Why the confetti? Why the popped corks? Why the banners that say the mission's accomplished? Like, if you're still trash, just because you've gotten a very important piece of the puzzle to be – ready to fit, right? Like, for the most part, why does nothing else matter at that point, right? Like, the climb from trash to championship contender is really steep, and it's really long. And there's a disconnect between how far away those two things are and what the current jubilation is. I get it. Like, and you said something on Sunday night that made me think, David, and we can talk about this for a minute or so, just about the world we live in and the fact that our audiences now on talk radio and in social media can shout at us literally at every minute of the day, right? Like while you're forming a thought, they're shouting at you. And the question for me is like, look, like we've talked about this before. I covered college basketball for 7 seasons on Tobacco Road, which included 3 national championship teams. Is my vision clouded by that? Yes, because I saw what championship success looked like, as you did with the Cubs, as they built that program. And again, this isn't that. But I bring that up because in my entire time on the ACC basketball beat in North Carolina, social media was just it wasn't a thing for the first 5 or 6. And then the last year and a half, it was just kind of a thing. And so you didn't have this constant shouting coming at you and bombarding you from the audience and saying, you're an idiot, or think about this. And what I'm trying to do based on what you said on Sunday night is make sure that that's not creating pushback that is detached from the analysis that I'm doing through the press box windows, through my interviews at House Hall, through my reporting, rewatching games, and trying to at least put up a barricade that prevents it from becoming sort of this, what I think said, where other people are trying to prove they're right. Right.
No, like, and I think that's almost what you have to do, and not have to do, but I think it helps because
you do.
What you want to do is you don't, look, we're not fans. I know that will not come as any surprise to anybody who's familiar with either one of us or this podcast or whatever. We're not fans. And you're a journalist. You work at the Chicago Tribune. I still consider myself a journalist, even though I went to the sports talk radio realm about 5 years ago. But I still, like, that's the way we define ourselves. That's the way we evaluate what we're watching. And when you do that, there is an element that you become conditioned to removing emotion from the equation. And what social media tempts us both to do on a regular basis, and not just social media, but I think it's the way things are today, is to be emotional in your response, to be, you get a little defensive and you get your back up when someone's calling you a hater. When somebody's texting me this morning at 7 o'clock telling me that I don't understand, you know, what it takes to be a rebuild, you want to resist those opportunities to try to shout louder than the guy shouting at you. And so that's difficult, but Dan, it doesn't serve anybody any good, because the fact of the matter is the Bears are still in the midst of this. They have 7 games to go in this season, and each and every game, I think the obligation for us is the same thing, is to try to evaluate what happened to the game, how that fits into the big picture, and in that context, what it means to, you know, maybe individuals along the way, the most important of which is Justin Fields. And that has got to be the guiding force. And I know that just sounds like maybe lecturing or whatever, but I think that it bears, you know, sounding out, because it does become difficult in this climate to not get into a shouting match with whoever you're having a discussion with.
So I had 2 conversations, one on the phone and one over text, with 2 folks who have been inside the building at House Hall at some point. One of them is a former coach that I reached out to just to answer a strategic question and an X's and O's question. And then the conversation got around to this. And I'm just going to paraphrase this. I'm reading this from my phone right now, just so you have this. And he said, this is about Justin Fields. He said, splash player. People will get excited about it until they don't. He represents hope, but hope is not a strategy. Just so you're clear, this is someone who believes that Justin Fields has potential to be a long-term franchise quarterback that can be a star in this league. Later went on to say, at quarterback, regardless of the situation, you have to be judged on your ability to win games. Okay, right? Like, so Sunday was an opportunity where a win got away. So that was an interesting piece of feedback and a longer conversation regarding that. I also heard from a former Bears player who has been startled the last 2 weeks at how low the bar has become for the fan base that is obviously intoxicated, and rightfully so, by what Justin Fields has done in terms of turning on highlight reels, right? Like, you can scroll through Twitter and run into a Justin Fields highlight every hour of the day now, because that's how many he's producing. But how that doesn't equate to any sort of promise of long-term success. There are a lot of great quarterbacks in this league that don't attain the ultimate prize, first of all, which is the Super Bowl. That's 25 miles from where we are right now, right? Like, we're not even in that realm, but also don't even attain sustained success, because there's so many factors that go into this. And so I guess my confusion And maybe our producer can help us out with this a little bit, Adam Staszynski. But just my confusion is so what exactly is the celebration for right now, right? Like, and if it's just for Justin, I'm willing to get on board there, right? And I'm willing to say, okay, let's celebrate what this last month has been for this quarterback that's growing. But you know, what's next? Like, what's the next goal, and when do you expect to get there?
So here's my
talk to me, Studs.
Yeah. So here's my perspective on the whole thing.
And by the way, let me interject this before Adam does. Adam spent between 3 and 5 a.m. Monday morning taking phone calls from Bears fans on 670 The Score, as he does and tends to do after home games or after Bears games on Sunday at noon. So he does have interaction with these fans. He does have his finger on the pulse with this conversation.
Yeah.
And he is a fan himself.
Yeah. So, and I constantly, trust me, guys, like I constantly am finding myself trying to toe the line between seeing what's happening and trying, and when I'm analyzing the game, trying not to be too emotional about it, but realizing that it's okay to be emotional about it sometimes. So when we talk about like Justin Fields in the future, like I think the fan base gets so intoxicated by him because they've never had a guy like this. And, you know, the Bears have never had a quarterback that is just all over Twitter, all over SportsCenter, all over the NFL highlight package. And so that makes people excited and happy, and rightfully so. Like, he's made so much progress and he's starting to look like the guy. But where I think some of the fan base gets lost is you can't just have no bar, even in a season that we all understand was never going to go anywhere, right? We all knew coming into the season, like I think I predicted the most wins on this podcast. I think I said 6 or 7 wins. So none of us were predicting playoffs. This is going to be, this is going to be a meaningless season in regards to overall success as a team. But there has to be a minimum bar somewhere. Like you have to, when you have an opportunity to win a game at home against a bad team, a division rival, you can't just say, oh, well, better draft position and not hold them accountable for not winning the game. Like I understand that, yes, in the long run next year, if things go right and they get a top 5 pick and they don't screw that up and they get an awesome edge rusher, 3 technique receiver, whatever, then we'll all look at this Lions game and say, oh, okay, well, you know what, in the long run, that was good for them because they got this really good player. But that doesn't mean there's not something valuable in a team struggling to find ways to win, finding a way to win a game that they had right there for them. And like, I think that's a missed opportunity if you're looking at a young team. So that's the way that I look at it. And then as far as, you know, the next step, like you guys are right. We can't assume that everything's going to go right for the team going forward. We can't assume that they have a top 5 draft pick and they nail it. How many times have we seen the Bears in previous regimes just totally blow that pick?
What's the highest pick they ever had, right? Number 3, right?
And then it became number 2 when they traded up to get Trubisky, right?
And they got fleeced.
Yes. And so
they got fleeced.
So like we can't assume these things. So, but I think like I understand all the excitement. I'm excited too. Like, and we all acknowledge that the most important thing is Justin Fields have like showing that he can be a franchise quarterback. We all acknowledge that, but that doesn't mean that we just say nothing else matters. That's
what it also doesn't mean that you don't ask for Justin to take important steps that are qualifications
exactly.
for being a championship fueling quarterback, which includes winning games at the end
and like not throwing an egregious pick 6. That, you know, cost your team a lead. Now he turned around and he got the lead back, so he gets credit for that. But he had to get the lead back because of his own mistake.
Right. That's the argument for that. All right. That's a
Jay Cutler got an 8-year contract out of that.
Ask Phil Emery about that down in Atlanta. Thanks, Adam. Okay.
Right.
So that,
glad
that's
I can
the
help.
Fan perspective. The only thing I'd add before we move on to our QB1 breakdown. Because we don't want to get too far into this, but the thing that I hear that it was mentioned during your sparring afternoon with Dan Bernstein a little bit, or that was around noon, and it was a really good lively discussion. It's good radio, and you know, I respect where Dan is coming from. Again, what we believe isn't right, what he believes isn't wrong. It's just a matter of a difference of opinion sometimes, or people who are in that camp. It's just a difference of opinion in sports. Yeah. I always have resisted this idea that it's so black and white that you every move is evaluated by, does it get you closer to the Super Bowl? Okay. There are a lot of teams every year. Okay, how many teams? There's 32 teams in the league. 30 of them don't get to the Super Bowl. You said something during that interview, which is very interesting. You said, you know, not every quarterback gets to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, is that an unrealistic standard? No, you want to be lofty in your goals. You want to be ambitious in the way you approach it, aggressive attacking. All those things are true, but you also have to be somewhat realistic. And so when you're creating this and you're making progress, you have an opportunities to take steps. You want to take them. You don't want to miss them. And the other aspect is that we ask all the time, is this sustainable with Justin Fields? Is this style of play sustainable? I think that, you know, that's an interesting question because, yes, I think the answer is absolutely. You can play in the NFL this way with
Correct.
A quarterback that is this gifted as a runner and they'll develop him as a passer.
You've been getting texts from Zach Zaidman too?
Is that – yeah, you, but yeah, mostly about the Cubs and Syracuse. No, But the thing is that can you win that way, not just play that way? And I think that whether it was Zach or whether I said that to somebody else, is that I think it's a valid thing to remember. Can you win that way in a style that you can obviously play that way? We know Justin Fields has arrived, but what does that really mean?
Right. Well, and then the thought process is, as soon as they get all this other talent around them, they're just going to win 30-17, right? Like the defense is going to hold every opponent to 17 and they're not going to be in late game drives and the offense is never going to regress. And, you know, Justin's never going to hit another pothole in his development and it's just full steam ahead. I think we know from experience, like I'll say this, like first and foremost, like your quarterback doesn't need to have the same stylistic nuance that he had in 1996 or 2003, right? Like this is a different era of football right now that allows for what Justin Fields is doing to be absolute fuel to where you want to go. But I think we also know that football games that we watch every single Sunday, Monday, Thursday in the NFL are often won by the quarterbacks that make game-winning passing plays in the fourth quarter of a close game, right? Like there's just examples every single week where you say, of course the Packers beat the Cowboys because Rodgers found something, right? The week before, Brady has a terrible game, but on the final drive leads the Buccaneers down the field to beat the Rams. You see playmakers step up in the passing game in those moments in the fourth quarter of games and win it, right? And so like that's something that Justin has to show. He has to show that he can win the game as a passer in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. And he's shown us a lot this season. And it's worth, again, wrapping your arms around and saying, this is fun. This is energizing. This is pushing us in the right direction. Okay, well now just acknowledge that there's another part of this it's a box that needs to be checked. It absolutely has to be checked to even give yourself a chance.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.